As we will discuss this hour, it's a sophisticated pitch way beyond the voice of Jihadi John through social media infiltrating teenagers at their most vulnerable, where running away from home seems like a solution to alienation from parents and no apparent options or future, moments when dreamy romance seems attractive and dropping out is not destructive. It's heroic. This is the call from ISIS on social media and in online videos, an allure of the forbidden that has found eager adherents. The three teenage girls from London who fled their homes last week and are now believed to be in Syria. The men from Brooklyn, New York, apprehended this week trying to get to Syria to join up. It's believed that more than 500 women from Western cities had heeded a call to join the jihad and live in the self-proclaimed caliphate of ISIS. Many hundreds more men. Sarah Khan is the director of Inspire, a counter-extremism and women's human rights organization in the UK. She recently wrote a passionate open letter to young Muslims as a counter-rhythm to the drumbeat of ISIS, which has terrified her as a woman, as an advocate, and as a Muslim.
I genuinely believe that this is a grooming issue. I mean, these three girls from East London were the ages of 15 and 16, and ISIS very much groom these kind of girls. You see how older jihadi men are going on social media sites. They're talking to these girls, asking them about their height, you know, their weight, how pretty they are. And then on top of that, you find that there are female ISIS recruiters who are also grooming them, encouraging them to come over. So it's a radicalization process, but it's also very much a grooming process as well.
Well, I know lots of teenage girls, and, you know, my kids talk about, you know, all kinds of things as teenage girls, but I've never heard them talk about clashes of civilization and ideology and narratives of ISIS. They're the kinds of things that would motivate them would be much more personal, and I'm just wondering how ISIS intervenes in this sort of personal dimension of a 15-year-old that would make them say, you know, my life just really sucks here. But somehow going over to Syria and not bathing for months and getting married to someone I don't even know and participating in ISIS is an alternative.
No, and it's a very important question. I think it's really important to understand that there is no single route to becoming radicalized. There is no single profile that fits a person who becomes radicalized. And that's something that we've learned actually since 9/11. You know, we know that people who are educated, people who are, you know, who are doctors, people who are not educated, you know, you have the whole range of people who become radicalized. I think when you look at young people in the UK who are attracted to ISIS ideology, I think some of it is personal. I mean, I know of people who've perhaps their parents have got divorced and that's really impacted on them. And there's a void there and they're looking for someone to fill that void. And sometimes that extremist narrative appeals to them. But it's also, you know, we shouldn't underestimate the successful recruitment drive of ISIS. I mean, if you look at some of their videos, they're incredibly powerful. You have a powerful, charismatic preacher using religion as a driving tool. You know, I mean, what more authority can you have if you're saying God sanctions what I'm doing? And then also kind of using very emotive pictures, Syrian children being killed, for example, or showing how, you know, Western countries are maybe bombing countries like Iraq and the aftermath and the pictures of that, using powerful music to stir emotions. I mean, they are very powerful, moving videos and propaganda of ISIS. And I don't think we should underestimate how powerful that is.
How does social media seed this in the sense that, okay, let's say a dozen 15-year-old girls find their way to Syria, but then they have connections to other girls back in the UK and they describe their situation and all of a sudden this network of girls is being pitched in a way that parents can't get to, that there's really no way to get into that conversation because this is girl-to-girl conversation. How does that work?
I mean, it's very difficult and you really have to feel for the parents because, you know, many of these parents will not know what their kids are viewing online. And that's with anything. You know, we live in an era now where, you know, kids have got smartphones. They've got access to absolutely everything. They've got the internet on their fingertips. And that's one of the dangers of the internet. As much positivity is there about the internet, it also has and harbours dangerous sites that can, you know, make people do all sorts of things. I mean, it's what's interesting about ISIS is that they use women in particular, female ISIS recruiters who target young girls. And what they do is that they paint a very romanticized image of life in ISIS. So, you know, they paint this image of the hundreds of women have come across from all parts of the world, from different countries have come, and there's this huge sisterhood in ISIS, and it's wonderful and life is amazing. And they really present this utopian aspect to it. And I think a lot of girls, particularly 15-year-old girls, really incredibly naive. They don't realize this kind of propaganda, and they fall for it. So just as an example, one young girl who left East London last week, they, you know, there's Shamima Begum, for example. She, if you look at her Twitter account and you see who she's following, all the people she is following are ISIS fighters or female ISIS recruiters. And so her whole, you can see how she's being fed this kind of picture about ISIS life, and what a lot of these ISIS fighters and ISIS female recruiters are doing are painting this picture of how wonderful it is, and they give advice on how to get here, how to get past the Turkey-Syria border, what kind of things you should bring with you. And they develop a long-term relationship, which is very similar to what online groomers do. You know, they build that trust. They, you know, suggest that they're somebody that you can trust and build a relationship. And they buy that trust of young people. And unfortunately, some of our young people fall for it.
Sarah, with all due respect then, with all that you've described and just how these dynamics are working, how can an open letter that you've written here possibly go up against that? And I'm wondering if you could read a section of it to just give me a sense of how you're trying to get into this conversation. The second to the last paragraph, you write, "Your mother, who for years raised and nurtured you to enable you to achieve great things." You're trying to get them to remember that person who maybe they have a difficult relationship with, but still represents something. Can you give me the tone in which you think a 15-year-old girl might actually connect with what you're saying?
I mean, it's an emotional appeal. It's very much going for the heartstrings and saying, this is your mother, and what you're going to be doing is leaving behind a woman who sacrificed so much for you, and you're going to leave her with a broken heart. Is that something you really want to do? And then obviously I end that paragraph by saying, because there's a very famous saying by the Prophet Muhammad where he says, you know, your mother, she's the most, you know, one of the most important people in your life. You must show so much respect to her. And it's a very well-known saying of the Prophet that Muslims all across the world will know. And my point there is trying to say, you know, no matter how little or how much understanding of Islam you have, that's something you cannot just come back and, you know, there's no argument with that point. And so by saying, well, ISIS are asking you to turn your back on those, on your parents. I mean, many of these girls have left. They refuse to even say goodbye to their parents. Because they think that must be that they're doing something for the pleasure of God. And so the point I'm trying to put here is that ISIS completely violates even the most basic teachings of Islam.
Sarah Khan is director of Inspire, a counter-extremism and women's human rights organization in the United Kingdom. Sarah Khan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.